today I want to speak on, God's strategy is that he subtracts before he adds or multiplies in our lives. That is, God first of all asks us to remove certain things from our lives before he can add on to us. That is, God doesn't add on to what is already in existence or what is going on in your life. He first of all requires that you remove something, and then he is able to add now into your life. That is, it's a law in God. So shall a man leave his father and mother, subtraction, and then cleave, and that's the addition that comes in. And so, we must learn to give up things that we might love to do in order to become who God wants us to be. It's important that we learn to give up things we love to do. Just like a child. A child loves, to play with toys and all of that. Well, you have to give up those things in order to become who God wants you to be. And that law is consistent as we begin to get into higher things in life. There are things you love to do. At the point where the child gives up, right, playing with toys and all of that, they are still emotionally attached and they love to do that. But the parents understand that reading books is much better for you than spending time playing with toys in order for you to become, all right, who you are supposed to be in life. So we see Abraham in Genesis 12:1. You can put that up. That God told Abraham first of all and said to him, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, first thing, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. Then he now says, unto the land that I will show thee. So you get out that subtraction first, and then I will add unto you. I mean, I've told this story before of this gentleman who said how he got his first brand new car. He said what happened, he kept telling his mother, I'm going to get my car, all right, very soon I'm going to have my car. Very soon I will get it. And that his mother, being a prayerful person, and was a church goer and taught, all right, Sunday school and church, kept telling him, every time he would say it, he would say, but your old car is still out there, right out there in the parking lot. And that he will keep saying, I will get back. I said, one day he asked his mother, every time I say it, why do you refer to the old car that is, all right, tires have been removed, everything is still parking lot. And she said, because you have to create space for the new. If you don't get rid of that one, the new one will not be able to come in. And he said all he did was that it dawned on him and he listened to her. And in this message, I'm going to talk about the power that comes from listening to people. All right? A lot of times, Pentecostal, Word of Faith people, we don't take advice because we believe we are hearing directly from God. And he removed the car, and he said, with no additional effort, 2 weeks from that day, the new car he was reaching out for was there. How it happened, he just said there was something spiritual about it, taken away, all right, and then that came in. So God says, leave and other to cleave. He didn't say you should hate. There's still emotional attachment to your parents. You love your parents. If you don't love your father and mother, you're not capable of loving any other person in terms of a marital union. You are not capable of being a good husband. You are not capable of being that. If you don't love your mother, you're not capable of loving your wife, right? Because that's how you define, all right, the relationship with the opposite sex, with your mother there. If a woman hates her father, she'll project that, all right, into her husband, because that's the first male authority figure within her life. And so if she despises that, it's deeper than just a clutch, all right, in past 90s there, it extends. It's something spiritual. What he's saying here that, changes have got to be done. All right, Peter also, in order for him to be able to become an apostle, Peter and James and John had to give up something they loved doing. I mean, this gentleman, probably this was something that was handed through the generations. This was their means of livelihood. This is what they enjoyed doing, catching fish. And suddenly they were, you know, to give all of that up in order to become. So Hebrews chapter 10, 9 tells us, God takes away the first in order to be able to establish the second. Therefore, in your life, like we said of the gentleman who pulled the car out, in your life, you now, this is what we're talking about, looking through your life as a person, being selective within your life, examining things that you might love doing, but in terms of the value they are adding to the fulfillment of your purpose, in terms of looking at it in the context of the assignments that God has given to you, looking at it in the big picture, right? You might love doing it, but it is just no longer necessary. There is a concept that is called the quantum leap. We've done a series on this before in this church. We might do it again shortly. But the quantum leap, it comes out of scientists examining matter. And what they discovered was that in, as they observed the particle of matter there, that they found out that sometimes something unusual happened. Now, every particle revolves around in a certain energy level, which means like the planets are going around and keep going around in the orbit there, right? And so they look at them, but for no reason that they could explain, they found out that there will be an explosive, sudden jump that a particle of matter undergoes in moving from one place to another. So it just jumps through the levels. Let's say from 2, it jumps right to level 7. And what they understood while they examined them was that they noted that these jumps and explosive jumps occurred without any apparent, that's visible, increased effort. Those particles seem to be, which means there was no extra exertion on their part. There was just an added energy that came from somewhere, and they jumped to that particular level. So scientists, in decoding what happened, have been able now to use that kind of energy and that jump there to create a world in physics that has translated, all right, to several things that we use today, laser beams, and it's quantum physics, and they've translated that jump there. But then people also have now translated it into personal lives and organizations. In other words, how will an organization have a quantum leap? How does an individual experience the same thing? Because if it exists as a law in matter, then it speaks about something that goes on also in the realm of the spirit. So suddenly you find an individual who has been operating at this level with their colleagues, and then suddenly, bam, an explosive jump, and they move into a very new realm there, far, all right, above. And when you looked at them, there seemed to be no extra effort on the part of these people. It was just like some energy came from somewhere in their lives and put them up there. Some say they were lucky and all of that. But as they began to examine these particles, they found out that what happened, all right, in just saying it in layman's language now, is like you need a certain amount of energy to go around on level 2. And let's assume that all the particles are going around, but they were also involved in other activities that were not directly related to their motion of going around. And so they were burning energy on those other activities, right, and using a fraction of the energy just to go around. So what happens to the one that seemingly has this new outburst of energy? What happens is that it seems that in it, it desisted from all the other activities where it was wasting its energy and started storing up all that energy and still using that fraction in going around. And when it got to one point and I stored up energy, the same energy that was being used at level 5 there, it simply was pushed to that level and it got and started operating there. So what they say is this. You come into the life of a person, and this is consistent with Scripture. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. So you go into the life of an individual. Let's assume somebody that says, I want to get massive things done. Or an organization. We want to increase, all right, our productivity and do things. And so the first thing they tell is not, how are we going to add more activity to what is going on here? Because they have come to understand that we don't necessarily make progress because we have become busier. Number two, that not all actions are effective, and increased visible activity does not necessarily signify progress. So you can increase the activity in the life of an individual, and what happens is you actually diminish the productivity of that individual. You can come into an organization when they come in, and first thing they don't say is, all right, let's see what you guys need to do here to be able to get there. The first thing is, what do you guys need to stop doing that you are doing? So let's look through your entire system. Is this necessary? Is that necessary? Is this necessary? Desist from all of this. Is that necessary? Desist from all of this. Now, of course, that becomes difficult in area, because telling people to desist, you know, it affects people too, and all of that, okay? And so sometimes in our lives, we are identified with certain things and we don't want to let go of those things. So the key is not to apply more effort to the same things that you are doing, but the key is to create, it's like I said midweek, white space. That's black and white space, which means, first of all, you want to empty your schedule of certain things. You want to look into your life. And this is what I'm saying today. You are saying, well, I want God to bring new things and new experiences. You can't pour new wine into an old wineskin. You have got to change the structure of the wineskin in order to pour in a new wine. If you pour in new wine to the old wine, the wine will get spilled. The old wineskin, all right, the bottle will be mad or destroyed, and the wine will be spilled. So what you want to do is to, first of all, change that constitution of the bottle there. So you want to go into the life of this person there. You want to look at your own life. I want to empty my schedule of certain things. You want to look at your life from morning till evening. What are the things that I'm doing? Are these things related directly to advancing, which means, if I stopped, that here is the truth. I'm not saying you should stop this, okay? And now, please understand what I'm saying, just as an example. Okay? Now, let's assume you are working on advancing something. If you don't watch Arsenal versus Man U today, or Liverpool versus, it won't affect. You understand what I'm saying, yeah? But that can be the thing that you are most emotionally invested in today. In other words, it can affect the state of your heart till tomorrow morning. That is, you will not eat, you understand what I'm saying, yeah? Because your team lost. Now, this has nothing to do with advancing your cause in what you are doing. If a student is reading for an exam on Monday, whether Arsenal won or Man U won has nothing to do with it. So there are many things that we are emotionally invested in that do not add anything to our personal progress or becoming, all right, who God wants us to be. Absolutely nothing, right? So the first thing you want to do is to look at it and empty your schedule, your mind, all right, of things that you are thinking about you can't change. Your finances, okay? Sometimes we do things and we say, I said this, people come and, you know, we make statements. Check your statement. Or you say, well, there's this wedding, you know, and maybe you're earning 200,000 naira a month. And, you know, there are three weddings. on the average, for 6 months of the year. And you know, you must buy a ashoebi because you have to be at the wedding. Now, each of the ashoebi is 20, 15,000. Multiply that by three in a month, 60,000 sometimes has gone off your 200,000 salary. But you have to be at the wedding. Now, the truth is, you do not have to be at the wedding. The people that have to be at the wedding are the groom, the bride. He who giveth this one. So the father of the chief bridesmaid doesn't even have to be there. So I won't marry without chief bridesmaid. You don't have to be there. Now, are you following what I'm saying here? But you have said, I have to be there. That's why you have to re-examine what we're saying here. All right? So we said, you're on your way from South Africa. They cancel the flight. Will they cancel the wedding for you? No. They will go on with that wedding without you. And probably they are not thinking about you. I'm not just saying, this is the reality you should get. But what has happened is that you have destabilized your own life, saying that, blown yourself to become so important, I have to be there. Now, next month, you have to pay the salary, school fees of your children. Half that one, you have to. This one, you want to. This one, you have to. Now you jeopardize what you have to by what you do, what? Want to. So you want to examine your life. What are the things you are saying, I have to? Things that are not really necessary. The things that are absolutely necessary to your progress. All right? Some people say, well, you know, just see that a friend. You know, we thought we were just all friends. He has bought a house. 45 million. How? You know that explosive jump. How did he buy the house? You say, while you were spreading the money. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, Mr. Biggs, all of this, if you calculate all those things, making phone unnecessary phone calls. Are you following what I'm saying here? In Uganda, at one point, the highest divorce rate, the highest reason for divorce was financial problem that came because the man was spending money on GSM phone call and could no longer buy food in the house because he was speaking on the phone, buying a recharge card. Do you get what I'm saying here? So, 3,500, you know, you multiply that by 100 when you're buying it 111. By the time you add it, 350,000. Just multiply that by 10, 3.5 million. Now, let's assume this other person just stored their money, didn't spend, kept the money. And there was just this new thing that came out, houses for 35 million, dropped 10%, and did this, and he just saw that opportunity. But because your own has been on meat pie and all these things that cannot be transferred as an inheritance to any child. As you ate it, only you enjoyed it, entered into you forever. That's gone. Cannot be recalled anyway. And this other person dropped it and got focused. And eventually, you didn't understand how they bought it. Within 10 years, they paid for the house. But you are waiting for 45 million. Do you get what I'm saying? That one day, 45 million will come. Then I will go and drop 45 million and buy a house. So this person does that. So the key here, it's not to apply more effort at the same things. But what you want to do is create white space. Empty your schedule. Decrease what you are doing. What are the things that are most important? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's look read from verse 39 to 42. This is about Mary and Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was combat about, all right, with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, all right, to help me. And I like Mary. Her sister was running around. She didn't feel that she should go and help her sister. Do you understand what I'm saying here? She wasn't under pressure because she had realized what was the most important thing. She had zeroed in on it. And she wasn't going to allow any cultural thing to take her off what was the most important thing to do. And now start saying, oh, but it's my sister doing. She left her sister doing that. And then Jesus went on in verse 41 and said, and Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And what Jesus is telling you today is that you are careful and troubled about too many things. Only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken, all right, away from her. So we want to start decongesting our lives, looking at things the way we spend our time, right? Just decongesting. Sometimes it's even better because you need time, we'll get to it, to rest and to relax. So sometimes just decongest. Unnecessary activity, simply just resting is much better for you as a person than engaging in activity that will not have any real productive end for you as a person. Many of the things that we allow to take up our time and space today in our lives are simply not important. You look through them, right? Because God is going to bring anything new, you've got to start to readjust. There are things that you will start to readjust. So you begin to delegate. You begin to, but in delegating here, you must understand that delegating is not just giving people things to do. Delegating is much deeper than that. It's choosing the right person for the right task without, all right, any emotions being involved. In other words, if you want to delegate, it's not just that somebody comes to meet you and says that, you know, this long relative doesn't have work to do. Don't you have space inside your organization? Help now. And you know that this person is not qualified. You know that this person is not right, all right, for this thing. And you just say, out of emotions, what you will do is that you will create more stress into your life by putting the wrong person there. In fact, the Bible teaches that an unfaithful man occupying a space in the time of test, what your experience will be by hiring an unfaithful man is like experiencing toothache and a twisted ankle at the same time. That's the scripture there. It says a broken tooth. It's like you broke your tooth and twisted your ankle. You know, double pain. All right? And like a friend told me once, said, when you spend money to hire a person and stress increases, you have spent wrongly. All right, so somebody comes and says, I need a driver because the roads are too much stress. I want to sit down and be reading my book and doing that while he's driving. But you find out that as he's driving, your book is down. That guy, and you know, and the guy, why is down? Come, listen to me. You are increasing tension in this place. Money has been spent wrongly. So one of the things about leadership is this. You've got to understand it. Leadership is about the ability to look ahead, to be able to predict what is coming. And I'll talk about that. Two qualities, right? And to be able to delegate, which is choose the right person, right, to be able to accomplish the right task. To be able to look into the background of a person and find out whether they are suitable for this particular task. Okay? My pastor back then, Olubi Johnson, told me, said, in Yoruba, we translate, he said, which means anybody who will be, when he's small, that means there has to be something in a person's past that indicates that that kind of direction, all right, is there. They must have something in them, or else, right, you just increase that kind of trouble right there. So you want to make sure these right people you put in the right place. And let me say this. If you have any business idea that actually, right, has worked, which means you tested it in the marketplace, it worked, even if it fetched you 50,000 naira a month, there's life in that idea. If that idea eventually doesn't increase and multiply, you killed it out of ignorance. And probably where you killed it out of was your inability to predict the power that was contained inside that idea and to pick the right people that will help you to multiply what was already going on in that place.
Thank you for listening.